Welcome to Irish Illustrated Overtime. I'm Tim O'Malley with Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated, John Bryce of Football Scoop. And gentlemen, I think this is our ninth post-game gathering, and unfortunately the third with an angst-ridden fan base because Clemson's defense won the day. Notre Dame's special teams and offense contributed to losing it. In the end, it was 31-23 Clemson. And 31-23 for, I believe John Bryce pointed out, about 21, the final 21 game minutes, Notre Dame certainly had chances in terms of possessions to come back and tie this game.
Yeah, the last six possessions, 24 snaps of the football, 56 yards, four punts, interception, lost the football on downs. The day started after Notre Dame's field goal. The day was pretty miserable for Notre Dame. And although they threatened at times, and cut it to eight a couple times, and they were one drive away and 2-point conversion from being back in it. But I really didn't understand what the plan was offensively, other than chipping away like you did against Ohio State. But the difference was that in this game, you were trailing by 24-6 at one point, whereas early in the second half against Ohio State, they were down by three. So the circumstances were much different, but too many veteran Notre Dame players did not answer the bell today.
Completely agree. Just wasted opportunities early in the game. Again, red zone field goals instead of touchdowns, an inability to answer. The special teams really set them back from the outset, both the low short punt, shorter punt that was returned back to the Notre Dame 41. Clemson has a touchdown on the very next snap. And then obviously the Chris Tyree fumble.
And Audrick Estime, and John Bryce, you pointed this out on Instant Analysis, they actually did get off to a pretty nice start. They had to settle for a field goal, as Priester said. But on that drive, on the opening drive, Audrick Estime had runs of 23 and 25 yards. That 48 was more than half of his 87 for the day. I think Notre Dame saw something they could take advantage of schematically and just didn't in the running game, because they were pigheaded at some point in how much they wanted to run that football. And Tim, as you said, I know they're having success, but you're not going to back your way into a victory at Clemson. You're certainly not going to back your way into a comfortable lead at Clemson. You're going to have to go out and attack offensively at some point, and then maybe you start relying on what you see schematically for Estime, Love, and Price after that. But it was run first, run second, run third, and maybe the reason they didn't pass is because, boy, it was ugly when pass was fourth. They did not pass the football well.
They must have known it wasn't going to be good, because when they did have to pass, it was really, really ugly. But it was such a missed opportunity against a beaten up, Clemson football team.
Notre Dame was the healthier team today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you just lost, Mitchell Evans, and that hurt. They would have probably found ways to get him to football a few times, and would have, gotten past some of those struggles during those six possessions that I talked about. But you don't have, there's no Shipley. Maskell, their defensive end, is out. They're already short a corner. They're short a safety. That was a beaten up football team, but you wouldn't have known it. They were more inspired and more focused than Notre Dame was after that first series when Estime was able to gash them a couple times.
And we talked about it. Clemson had ready-made motivation all week long. Clemson had been dismissed all week long. And we talked in the pregame and we said Notre Dame really had to get off to a quick start, could not feed Clemson belief. And Notre Dame exactly fed Clemson belief and exactly deviated from what it needed to do and what I think it set out to do. I mean, Audrick Estime, again, at one point in time had 16 touches early in the game for 106 yards from scrimmage. And the rest of the Irish offense at that point in time had 79 total yards, but 24-6, as I noted, the largest deficit all time in Marcus Freeman's 24 games. They trailed by 17 a couple of different times last year at Southern Cal, but that 18-point deficit today, the largest of Marcus Freeman's career. And Notre Dame, I don't think, is convinced of exactly what its identity is yet on offense. And today, when it got so far behind, it lost any semblance of having the offensive identity that it wanted or needed to have today.
And there's a few talking points we have to get to, but on the positive side, Notre Dame pass defense was very good today. The issue was Cade Klubnik completed 5 passes that gained between 10 and 18 yards. Unfortunately, they set up scores because 2 of them were back-to-back, and then 3 came on another touchdown drive. So when they found rhythm, they finished with touchdowns. When Notre Dame found rhythm, the first time they finished with a touchdown was in the third quarter with Sam Hartman running one in from 26 yards out. Clemson manufactured 2 drives. Other than that, credit them because that's the type of game it was going to be. 8 for 21 passing for Klubnik on the day for 39 yards. That was the rest of the passing day for Cade Klubnik, but he was able to get 2 scoring drives out of it. I mean, Notre Dame was no better. Hartman finished 13 for 30, 146 yards, 2 picks. Of course, 1 for a touchdown. That was, what did we say pregame? Avoiding calamity is what you have to do sometimes, a quarterback. Well, he avoided calamity. Cade Klubnik avoided calamity instead of Sam Hartman this time. That's what surprised me most about this game.
Yeah, Tim, and remember at one point you turned to me in late in the first half and said, I have marked down no quarterback pressures at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and Klubnik only threw for, what, he ended up with 109 yards?
109 yards, I mean, yeah.
Like, he only threw for 109 yards, and they did start to apply some pressure to him in the second half. But you needed that in the first half when Clemson was scoring 24 points, 17 right. on offense. There was the chemistry and symmetry of things for Notre Dame today was totally out of whack. You don't like to beat kids up, but like, why is Tobias Merriweather, what motivates him to play football is what I want to know at this point.
I think everybody would agree that when Jordan Faison was your spark and he would come out at times and it was like, this is, and they tried to get the ball to Faison. They did throw deep to Faison. They threw a little short pass. He made about, what, 76 guys miss in one little space for 12 yards, but he really brought a spark. And I think you have to kind of re-examine what's going on. Where can Sam Hartman trust Tobias Merriweather going downfield at the end of the game? I think the answer there was no.
And if I, JB, if I could jump in here, like, is Jaden Greathouse healthy? Because he doesn't seem to be able to get open anymore like he did early in the season. I realize the level of competition is much greater, but he's not getting open. John had talked to, you know, he was assured that Jaden Thomas was going to answer the bell today. And I don't know that he ever got a snap. I don't think, and you and I, we both agreed, Tim, that he pulled up lame at the end of the Pitt game. But we still thought that he was going to be ready to go based upon the info that John had received.
Yeah, I'm going to use John. We lost John Bryce for a second here, but I'm going to use John's quote from the post-game incident analysis when John said, yeah, they had ample possessions to come back, but no opportunity. And that is for 3 reasons. Sam Hartman had a very bad day passing the football. Clemson's special teams were absolutely fantastic punting the ball. And Clemson decided they are going to have to beat us by driving the whole field. And they were more than happy to punt from midfield as this game progressed. This is where Notre Dame started. After scoring a touchdown on Sam Hartman's 26-yard scramble, they started at the 4, the 7, the 14, the 7, and the 6. And then the last drive was from the 5. Clemson started from the Notre Dame 41, the Clemson 36, midfield, the Notre Dame 47, the Notre Dame 32, before taking possession at the Notre Dame 42. To basically kneel that game out. Most teams aren't going to win in that situation. Notre Dame's offense had no shot, Tim, in winning that situation.
Yeah. Now, go ahead, John.
Yeah, if I could just jump in real quickly. Excellent points. I think Jaden Greathouse is healthy. I thought that he was missed at times today by Sam Hartman, including in the back of the end zone. Again, when this game was in its very early stages and Notre Dame desperately needed an answer. I believe that was the possession that would have allowed Notre Dame to tie the contest at 10-all after, again, the unfortunate special teams gaffe, and Notre Dame's defense stood its ground, held Clemson on a goal-to-go situation, forced the Tigers into a field goal. Notre Dame gets a chance to come back down and answer, stalls out inside the 5-yard line. Marcus Freeman wanted to talk about a couple of plays, meaning 10 points, but then Notre Dame also got 7 points off of a pick 6. To me, the difference is Notre Dame kicked field goals when it got into the red zone and didn't maximize those opportunities. And then Sam Hartman, I would say he would tell you, and he was very direct in his ownership after the game, played his worst game as a Notre Dame quarterback and probably one of the worst games of his collegiate career.
And you have to ask yourself why, again, because the shortage of frontline players. Like when we heard that Justin Maskell wasn't playing and that Sheridan Jones was out, I mean, it's like you add that to Will Shipley and you think you know you can really make some inroads. But 13 first downs, 3 for 13 on third down, and then the turnovers. I going into this game, Notre Dame had become one of the kings of forcing turnovers, 10 in the previous 2 weeks. And that's been a problem spot for Clemson. In fact, the last few years, their turnover margin, tracking that during the week, has continued to get worse and worse and worse. What happens? Notre Dame turns it over 3 times to Clemson's 2, and it just all kind of added up to a pretty miserable day. You said it, Tim. Clemson only hit 285 yards.
Yeah.
Notre Dame was game.
It was – they had 285 yards, and Phil Moffitt ran for 186 yards on 36 mm-hmm. carries, and that is straight out of a 1982 playbook for running a football against a team. When's the last time you saw 36 carries against Notre Dame from a player?
And if I could interject here to your points on the statistical situation, I believe at the point that it was 24-6, that at that point in time, Clemson barely had over 100 yards of total offense. Clemson was around 130 to 140 yards of total offense and yet held a 24-6 lead. There was a point in time where Notre Dame had a 7.5 minute time of possession edge in the first half and was down by 3 scores. That's just that's a recipe for disaster for Notre Dame on best of circumstances, but especially when your quarterback is off its game and you're still struggling to build an identity on offense. And then also, I think when we talk about how poorly Sam Hartman played today, I thought this might have been the worst the interior of Notre Dame's offensive line played overall today.
Yeah, and I asked the next question, Tim. We're gonna roll this video real fast. I think it's good timing. I asked the question to Sam Hartman: what did they do differently up front that was giving you problems? And I wanted to hear a little bit about what Clemson did. Of course, Sam took a good leadership role here. But if we can roll the video, this is Sam Hartman's response to his day. It was his worst day. I know Louisville was statistically going to be his worst day, but really Notre Dame needed him in this one because without Mitchell Evans, they needed their leader to play a good game today.
Your question, more of a statement. I mean, if you guys want to blame, put anything on anyone, put it on me. I played very poor today. Didn't play well enough to be a winning quarterback, to be a winning football team. All the different situations, scenarios that we were in today is a partly my doing, and really all my doing. I just didn't execute well enough. So if you want to, mention people on Twitter, you want to blame OCs, you want to blame Coach Freeman, blame me. I'm big enough and man enough to admit that I didn't play up to the standard that this team deserves, this fan base, this university deserves. And that's the way it goes. That's the Saturdays of college football. And I'm going to stick my head up high that the fact that happened, and we're going to bounce back. And the only thing I can give back to this program is, the last 2 games, give everything I have and just play better. We had ample opportunities to score. We had ample opportunities to make plays. And frankly, I just didn't make them. And the guys around me were busting their butts. Guys stepped up. People got hurt. And, it wasn't good enough for me and for myself to go out there and play like I played. And that ended up in a loss.
And Tim, remember when Hartman came in and we were looking at his career numbers and we saw the interception total as high as it was, and it didn't seem to coincide with a lot of the film that we saw when he was really, really good. But I think now through 10 games, we see that, sometimes his focus eludes him at times and he goes through streaks where he doesn't make very many good decisions. Now, again, I want to offer a little bit of a defense, because when your receivers, when your wideouts are so unproductive, there comes the time in a game, especially like this, when you're losing most of the time, that you got to give something a shot. You have to try to force something. And I think maybe that happened at times at Wake Forest too. But I just think that there are times where his focus wanes, and now we can, looking back on his previous time in college at Wake Forest, you get a little better understanding why those interception totals were up at times.
want to go to DC Irish 1-2-1-3 here because he makes one good point, but the other one I'm pushing back on. Third down conversions rate has been terrible too. Yeah, that has been a huge issue with this offense. When you say they have all the pieces and Parker still manages to make this offense incompetent, Parker had a bad day at the office. They do not have all the pieces. Whoever's lying to you about that, watch Tobias Merriweather run routes. Watch guys try to get open. People were open at times. You know what happens in a football game? Guys get open. You know who didn't hit him? Sam Hartman. If you scheme guys open and they can't catch the ball, or if he misses on a throw, that is on the players too. Jared Parker did not have an aggressive enough game plan going into this game. Tim, that you started talking about it from the very beginning. We're not making any excuses for the offensive coordinator this game. People saying they have all the pieces. They miss Mitchell Evans this much. What did I say after the Ohio State game? Mitchell Evans should not lead this team in yards and catches if that's going to be a good offense. He's still by far the best player on this offense other than Andre Guesstimé. By far.
Yeah, and like he is. Look, we try to evaluate everything at face value. When Parker was being criticized after the first two drives against Pittsburgh, we cried foul because that wasn't the case. He just Hartman threw two interceptions.
But today is worth the criticism of it. I'm just saying
today,
the players.
Yeah, no, today. Yeah.
Have all the pieces, okay.
No, they don't have all the pieces. But I where is this offense going with Jared Parker? He does not have the background to dig into a bag of tricks and pull something out. It's just the offense. A couple times they played a little. I wouldn't even say hurry up. They just kind of got to the. They made a play and then got to the line of scrimmage quickly, but then it quickly slows down again. You're not putting any pressure on the Clemson defense to hurry up and get lined up. And again, it was inchworm football against an opponent that quickly had 24 points at halftime. And you have to be more aggressive than that. But the receivers aren't very good either. So what are you going to do? They do not.
I want to go to John Bryce here because Bryce, I think you mentioned something on the walkout with the bye week. What a possibility that if you're going to go into something to change it up a little, Bryce had an idea he thought they could get into here.
I think that Sam Hartman needs tempo. I think Sam Hartman needs to play at a little bit brisker pace. I think that Sam Hartman very much thrives on that. When we've watched him in the past, he's been able to play at an elevated clip. I think a little bit of tempo could potentially mask some of Notre Dame's wide receiver shortcomings, some of the other issues that they have. I just think that there's a need for Notre Dame to play with more tempo because I think that Sam Hartman, when you study him and you watch him through the years, he's very much a rhythm guy and a little bit like a basketball player in that regard. And he's not able to get into a rhythm. And I think the longer he's not able to get into a rhythm, maybe he does, as Marcus Freeman said post-game today, get spooked by some other things or lets other things impact him. And I'll just go back to the fact that, no, they don't have all the pieces. They're guys they've done a really good job of beginning to overhaul and flip this roster in some key spots. There's still guys playing on this team and starting on this team that committed to basically an entirely different coaching staff. The interior of the offensive line needs tremendous work. I was just noticing six and a half tackles for losses today, I think, by the Clemson defense. Another six quarterback hurries today by the Clemson defense. Two obvious interceptions, and I also believe three passes defensed. And again, go watch the film and see and listen to Sam Hartman right there saying, I missed Rico Flores wide open down the field. I missed Jaden Greathouse on a touchdown. This is a Notre Dame team, particularly offensively. The margin is such that when those plays are missed, Notre Dame cannot overcome those.
Tim, I agree. We're back at a point where the margin can't be so slim. Like it's just too small here. I think you made the point, Priester. You're like, all right, you kind of got the draw play. The third and was it third and 11? It was third and 11 draw play to set up the first field goal. You're like, I kind of get it. But you're also giving it to the guy that breaks tackles the least. I know Jabrion Payne's your third down blocker, but that is a play where you want to get that inside to Love because or Jadarian Price or Andre Guesstimé where they break a tackle, they might be able to rip one off. And I know people, you don't want a third and 11 run very often. And if you do a third and 11 run, you think, well, maybe they want to go for it on fourth and two. Of course, it's hard to pick up that many yards. They picked up six. Fourth and five, the field goal is probably the right call. But once again, driving down and getting field goals, quality possessions don't matter when you have three of your five quality possessions for Notre Dame end up at 9 points. They had three quality possessions, Clemson. They ended up at 21 points. That's what they're 321. You know, that's how you win.
Yeah, and then the second half, the 74-yard drive that pulled them within eight, and then after that, they could do nothing in the next six series.
The last 7 minutes and 29 seconds were 15 snaps, 14, or they were all called pass plays after Jordan Faison ran that six-yard jet. The best play by far was Sam Hartman scrambling away on a called pass play for 12 yards. But that was over four possessions technically. One was frantic. That's hard to go to when you're back up to your own end and you're not successful passing the ball anyway.
I think when I left the press box with about 10 minutes to go downstairs, Hartman had 17 passes. I mean, what? 17 passes. And if you remember, you know, he threw 20, I think it was 25 against Ohio State. It's just, you know, like I don't want to be the play calling critic, because I don't think that we take into consideration. Oh, we definitely don't take into consideration all the things that a play caller has to consider. And yeah, I did think that 3rd and 11 running play, I think it was the right call against the front that they got from Clemson. But Payne was tripped up, and you're right, Tim. I mean, okay. All right, you ran it. So that means you're prepared to go for it on fourth down, but they weren't because it was a little bit too much. Should we turn our attention to the reality of the situation now? Is we're not talking about New Year's Six Bowls anymore. 9-3 is very realistic if they can play a little bit better against an inferior opponents coming up. ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa against somebody from the SEC. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I asked Marcus Freeman the question post game. He said he talks constantly about helping this team reach its full potential. And I said, I don't think anybody expected this team's full potential to be sitting here with three losses the first weekend of November on a season that entered with college football playoff aspirations. And now there's not even New Year's Six aspirations. What is this team's full potential the rest of the way? How does Notre Dame attain that? We've said it before. I'll reiterate it. This is going to be, once again, the toughest month of coaching that Marcus Freeman has thus far endured through the previous 24 games as Notre Dame's head coach. And you've got a lot of questions that are going to continue to emerge. Do you start trying to find more guys on your offensive line? Zeke Correll was a concussion. 2 weeks, I guess he should be able to be back against Wake Forest, but what do you continue to do up front on your offensive line, particularly there in the interior? Holden Stays was a non-factor today. He almost got killed once on a high throw over the middle where he really took a damaging blow and sort of somersaulted into the air onto the ground. We haven't seen Eli Raridan emerge yet in the throw game. I think we all believe he's incredibly talented. We're November 4th. Notre Dame is 7-3. And yes, it's just one loss, but this one loss ushers in a number of questions, in my opinion.
Yeah. And now, to your point, John, about playing up tempo with Hartman, I mean, basically the Hartman era at Notre Dame is over, at least the important part of it is. And did you fully maximize his abilities? I don't know that he fully maximized his abilities, but did Jared Parker maximize the possibilities with Sam Hartman by playing, you know, slow and huddling all the time and just not playing with pace? I agree with you. I don't think that helped Hartman's game.
No, I don't. We've heard before, Marcus Freeman doesn't want to play with pace. He talked about it a little bit the other day to your excellent question, TP. You know, we don't want to major in tempo, but they can go in a little bit of tempo. But we've very rarely seen Notre Dame utilize anything resembling tempo against an opponent that is close in roster depth and talent to Notre Dame. We have not seen Notre Dame deploy any type of tempo offense against its tougher opponents this season.
Little bit of kudos to the defense as they did keep Notre Dame in it. I mean, I know they did not play a perfect game. They had gave up a couple of good drives to Clemson, but Jack Kaiser played a tremendous game, which he could only call it off the bench, right? I mean, he comes off the bench to help the team anyways. Benjamin Morrison, I had him for 2 coverage wins, 3 pass breakups, 1 that resulted in an interception, and of course he gave up a key third down too that did lead to a Clemson touchdown. But sometimes that happens when you're one-on-one on an island the entire game, because I did look over at times. Part of Notre Dame's comeback, they were not giving Benjamin Morrison help because they knew they had to stop the run. They needed to commit something, and they trust that guy to be able to lock it down.
Yeah, you know, I just finished my snap judgments afterwards. Jordan Botello, like there are so many hollow snaps going on there, and not protecting the edge and not making plays. I mean, for a guy that is getting that many snaps, I you know, it's just not enough productivity. And the defense did play well in the second half. They definitely kept them in the game. That's what we expect. We were certainly more surprised by the way Maffa was gashing them. The reason I asked Marcus Freeman about whether they were getting a different blocking scheme was because when Maffa had the 41-yard run, I looked to the Clemson sideline, and I sensed that they were pointing at the play caller for a great play call, and I figured it had something to do with an alter blocking scheme, because Maffa just, you know, Maffa, I don't know if he was untouched, but I mean, he easily covered the 41 yards, and Marcus Freeman said, no, they hadn't done anything differently. So I guess, you know, Al Golden's unit just got it together in the second half, and thank goodness, because it would have been more than an eight point deficit when the game ended.
Not including the long fumble, which I'm just not going to throw in the stats. 23 snaps for 75 yards after Clemson scored their last touchdown is what Notre Dame's defense did to them. And it wasn't even that much. Technically, it was probably 24 snaps for 60 yards because of a 15-yard loss of the fumble, which Notre Dame didn't really do with it. That's a heck of an effort to stay in it. I do want to circle back to one thing, because Pete Sampson, our colleague, posted Marcus Freeman's quote about getting spooked when Sam Hartman threw the pick six. Now, if there's a turning point in this game, it was definitely the pick six, because obviously that put Notre Dame behind the eight ball. It put Clemson in a position to be able to punt and win. We haven't talked about that enough. Notre Dame's defense did great, but Clemson was in position to punt and win this game, and that's what they did. But I think we can roll Marcus Freeman talking about Sam Hartman getting spooked. And I mentioned Sampson because he made a good point on Twitter. He's a sixth-year senior. This is who you can't get spooked with. He's not your freshman coming into Death Valley. He's your guy that has to bounce back and play better after a pick six.
And pick six kind of spooks you, right? It spooks you. It spooks the quarterback a little bit and says, makes you say, okay, let's go back to the run game a little bit. But, no, we didn't. It was a Clemson approach. It's not Ohio State approach.
I think he makes a good point. You can't be spooked with Sam Hartman. Even if you are, that's a problem. you need that guy to be not unspookable, I think, in these situations.
How is the Clemson approach different than the Ohio State approach?
No, I think what we saw was more like the Ohio State approach.
Okay. And we defended, you and I, to this day. We will continue.
I like the Ohio State approach. Yeah, they just scored on those drives.
Exactly. And again, Notre Dame didn't fall way behind.
Correct.
And so the running game, you know, looked better and was more effective because of the rhythm and nature of the way that game was going.
Yeah, and I think that to that point, the quick deficit, not just that it was a double digit deficit, but how quickly it swelled to that 24-6 margin there, forced so much alteration from Notre Dame in drifting away from what it was doing mostly successfully. In possessing the ball for 18 minutes early on in the first half of the ball game, 18 minutes of like the first, I forget what it was, 20, 25 or 26 minutes Notre Dame had possession, something like that. But again, also they had to try and throw it around more and just do some different things getting away from the run, because it was pretty obvious at that point in time, Clemson seemed capable of capitalizing on short fields, but Clemson consistently was not going to drive the field on you. It did, however, have the 11-play, 75-yard drive that I thought was a really gutsy answer from Clemson early in the second half, and a real wasted opportunity for the Notre Dame defense to get quickly off the field. And I think even a couple of key third-down conversions on that drive as well. I think one of you guys had a stat that 11-play drive nonetheless had four or five plays that were 10-plus yards.
Yeah, they found a rhythm Notre Dame couldn't find. And, you know, this is definitely going to sound fanboyish, but the best weapon right now without Mitchell Evans in terms of what he can do other than Audric Estime is a walk-on lacrosse player.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. That is,
yes.
And that's why on fourth down with the game and season on the line, I don't know who I was standing with on the sideline. Like, Faison's not even in the game. He's not even in the game. I don't understand that. Clearly the one guy, and he only caught two passes, but it was for 32 yards. The one guy that you knew you could count on in the passing game based upon two throws was Faison.
Yeah, but we should go back to my Mitch Levin's point about Ohio State. He shouldn't be the one guy you can count on for your two throws at this point in the season either. That is the issue.
Go ahead, Tim.
I just want to bring up the other issue. The one issue I had with the post game with Freeman, because I didn't pick up on the spook thing as much. When he says you look at two plays, a pick six and a muff punt, that's 10 points. You never want to point your finger at one or two certain plays, but that's the difference between winning and losing the game. I don't think it was the difference between winning and losing the game. I know the pick six was a killer, but it was just the same amount of pick six killer as Notre Dame got when Xavier Watts picked up the ball and brought it back to the 2 yard line and Notre Dame scored on the first snap. That's a pick six. And Xavier Watts is another guy. He did not have his best game in coverage, but boy, how about finding the ball in a big spot? Xavier Watts again. Let's give the ball some credit.
It's either there or the ball finds him because, you know, and I mean, it's not to say that seven interceptions are luck, but more than half of those have just been being in the right place at the right time, which is a skill as well.
Yes, it is.
Yes, seven interceptions for Watts, the nation's leader. Conversely, and unfortunately for Notre Dame, after he didn't throw a pick in the first six games, that's now seven picks in the last four games for Sam Hartman. So again, that's a troubling trend, especially with all the issues that Notre Dame is having with some offensive dysfunction and inability to carve a true identity and in again any sort of rhythm. I think the identity and the rhythm go hand in hand.
Yeah. Before we give way too much credit to the offense, I will say, or the defense, 73% rush efficiency in the first half for Clemson, while Notre Dame was mired at just under 40%. I mean, they did take control of the game in the first half with that. They jumped all over Notre Dame. This was not one or two plays. I made a kind of a flippant comment at the end of Instant Analysis. They did play complimentary football. They knew they couldn't lose at some point. They could not lose with their defense out on the field against Sam Hartman, a lacrosse player, backup tight ends, and guys that were occasionally open as freshmen, and a sophomore that doesn't want to get
open. To your point, T.O., on the defense and Clemson taking it to the Notre Dame defense earlier through the majority of the game, yes, Clemson finished 5-for-15 on third downs, but it was 5-for-10 until Clemson went into its prevent offense at the end of the game and just elected to punt to Notre Dame. So, again, 5-for-10 on money downs. You've got to get your defense off the field more than that, especially when you go back and look at where those five conversions occurred from.
And, hey, guys, you know, I mean, how well Howard Cross and Riley Mills have been playing.
Right.
That didn't happen today. And when you see Howard Cross has a guy wrapped up and he just pulled, and I feel like
he was trying to pull the ball away, wasn't he?
He was. He was trying to strip the ball.
He was. No, that particular play he was, but Mills rallied a little bit in the second half, I thought, and started looking like the player we'd seen in the previous four games. But that interior defensive line was struggling in the first half, and they were getting gashed quite a bit by Mafama. It was always second and five, second and four,
right?
With Mafa, and defensively, that's a tough way to live when you're second and three.
In case anybody is listening to this wrong, we have already gotten all over the offense. We're just pointing out the defense was not perfect the entire day too. Don't worry. We're not blaming the defense for this game. They actually said to Marcus Freeman, the defense kept you in it. The defense did keep them in it. And they adjust. I mean, as Bryce said, there was a prevent offense. Don't lose this game. Let's let our defense win it. But Notre Dame's defense adjusted and started tackling Mafa better. And as we said, they couldn't pass the ball in those two drives. They combined for all five chunks on two drives. Unfortunately, those ended in touchdown drives by Clemson.
Boy, is Trotter a player or what?
Yeah.
I love that. I love the way he plays the game. Down some numbers on the D line, Clemson was really good. It's the depth of that defensive line and the talent that they bring in on an annual basis continues to show itself.
I mean, I think we all agree, and even people, some people are saying 8-4 here in the chat, but because he said one person mentioned he had 8-4 as a regular season prediction, which is closer than 10-2. So congratulations on that one. But I going from here, I like Bryce's idea. I mean, this isn't like we've talked to the coaches about this. I like Bryce's idea about trying to get Sam Hartman loose a little bit with more tempo. Priester, you've just lamented the lack of tempo completely. I don't think Marcus Freeman loves tempo. I think Jarrett Parker might like it more than Freeman, but I do think it is Freeman's call. Priester, I think I said to you during the game, I still think he is running the offense that Marcus Freeman wants run.
No, I agree with that. And I see a question there from DC Irish 1213. Where do we go from here? Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if they need a bye week right now, considering what's happened in the recent bye week, but look, it looks pretty grim right now, but all you can do is you face two much lesser opponents, beat them, and go to a bowl game and beat an SEC team, and you can put a smiley face on a season that didn't live up to what you had hoped for. It doesn't look good right now, but you've got to pull it together, win your home finale. Stanford's played a little bit better football, but they're beatable, and play the best team that you can play in the SEC, finish on a high note, and you'll feel a lot differently than you do right now. But this was just a total missed opportunity, albeit in a, you know, Clemson doesn't lose at home very often. They have four losses, but only one of those came at home so far this year, and that was in overtime against Florida State. And if Clemson's field goal kicker makes his 29-yard attempt with a minute 47 to go, they probably win that game too.
JB, other than a little bit more tempo, what do you think? As Priester said, salvaging the season means beating a good team in the bowl game and, of course, winning these two. Joseph Ramas says Stanford worries him. I mean, Stanford, I think Al Golden will figure out Stanford's unique offense. I do want to get on Joe here because he said the defense made Klubnik look like Trevor Lawrence. No, they did not. They made him look like a game manager, but we did not think he would be a game manager. We thought Sam Hartman would manage the game.
Yeah. I am a Noor guy at Stanford. I am a Noor, the wide receiver. He's an issue. But Notre Dame has to bounce back. Again, I think these are games of great magnitude, almost more significant magnitude for Marcus Freeman in this program moving forward than had Notre Dame won today. These next two games are that much more important, in my opinion, because you continue to learn more about how Notre Dame responds to adversity. How does Notre Dame, with two final regular season games to go, this final bye week coming up, how does it start to carve any sort of offensive identity that it can carry into the offseason? Do you try to get Steve Angeli? Do you hope and do everything you can to get Steve Angeli some dedicated time down the stretch? I know quarterback is a huge topic, and you got CJ Carr coming in. You love him. He looks spectacular. But you've got to think about the end of this season. You've got to start thinking about the future as well. You've shown success in the portal, but the portal is still a bit of a crapshoot just in terms of being able to get the guys you identify and then convincing them to come to Notre Dame. So I think you've got to work your younger players, and I think that includes Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love more and more. I think it would be ideal to find a way to get Angeli some significant playing time the last couple of regular season games, and then you continue to look at more younger players potentially on both lines of scrimmage.
John, I agree with you, especially with regard to the running backs. Estime is likely down to his last two games at Notre Dame. We expect him to leave after his junior year and probably, you know, considering the position that he plays, stepping aside in the bowl game that won't have nearly as much significance. But where do they go from here? 10 wins is it's very important for this team and this program. They have three games left, two that they definitely should win, and then a challenging bowl game against probably an SEC team. It's important. Those games are important, and I agree. Play the younger guys. Love and Price need to play more. Price needs to get more touches. He just needs to get more touches. We know that. I don't know. I just doubt that they go to Angeli for any real significant snaps. I get your point, John, certainly. But I doubt that they do that more out of the respect for Hartman. And, look, we know that they're going to try to pursue a grad transfer quarterback. So those snaps, in the grand scheme of everything moving forward, probably aren't that important. But 10 wins is out there. That's a significant goal and one that's important that they reach.
I think it's worth pointing out, this is not just us talking in terms of bowl prep. Bowl prep is going to be very heavy young players. I mean, they are the guys that worked hard this season, the graduate students and the seniors. Unless you're in the playoffs, I'm talking not even major six bowl. If Notre Dame won this game, bowl prep would be about the young players. They give guys time off now in preparation for the bowl until just before game week. That's literally what both coaches, Brian Kelly did it, Marcus Freeman did it. Maybe Marcus Freeman learned from Brian Kelly. It is no longer, all right, let's go out here and practice for 3 weeks because we're playing LSU. That doesn't exist. They will pick up their bowl opponent on about December 23rd, yeah, depending when they play. It's a different situation because the games matter, but they start cycling through,
yeah,
the guys.
Yeah, I think you do all the game planning and teaching,
yeah,
you know, about the opponent, and then you implement it more in practice on the practice field. But you're right, Tim. They, especially for, you know, games in which there isn't it's not playoff bid or something like that. You turn your attention to your whole roster. You got anything playoff else? We just, yeah, about buried this team here in the last 40 minutes. Huh?
Well, the playoff hopes ended in Louisville. The Major Six Bowl hopes met their demise in Death Valley. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And look, I thought Notre Dame was a better team than this. They did not answer the bell today. I go back to the old good drive against Arizona State where they had to settle for a field goal that was blocked. Brian Kelly said we did not come out flat because we drove down and kicked a field goal. There was something flat about that game and this one. The Notre Dame was not the same team we saw at home against USC and Pittsburgh. It was much closer to the team we saw in Louisville. It's just
that's now, and reality. Marcus Freeman has a prosperity problem.
That was my question for Marcus Freeman's tenure so far going into the season. And right now it's the same thing. He has handled failure much better than prosperity, much better than success. The team has, his program has. Well, they just failed. So they should reel off two in a row here right at the very end, JB.
Yeah, they should. They need to. Again, I completely agree. This is still a program that has tremendous momentum in recruiting. You want to keep that up, and you need to keep that up by your performance on the field to finish November.
Yeah, good point. Three means something. That's a good point.
It does. And I threw in a stat at the end of my pregame numbers, and I know it doesn't mean a lot to many people, but in the last 87 games, Notre Dame is 70-17. I realize that there are a lot of big teams in there that, you know, they weren't big wins for Notre Dame, but 70-17 is a successful program. But they're going to have to, in order to take it to the next level, Marcus Freeman's going to have to learn, you know, and I like what is happening on the practice field that is not allowing you to continue the success that you've just achieved. Is he working them too hard? Is he working them not enough? If I had to guess, I would think that it would be, maybe a little too much extra work just because he's all about preparation, which is a great thing. But you're playing your best football and Clemson is reeling and is littered with injuries and you don't answer the bell.
Notre Dame's middle portion of the season and against some of the quality competition they played falls to 3-3 after a 4-0 start. Clemson 31, Notre Dame 23.